It's the 4th of July, almost. Who has plans for today or tomorrow for picnics or barbecues or hangouts? Yesterday? Anyone? All right, there we go. People have been celebrating all weekend, I'm sure. At least it sounds like that when we're trying to put the kids to bed. what's your favorite 4th of July picnic barbecue style snack or item, food item at one of these picnics? What comes to mind? What's your favorite? Hot dogs. Potato salad, all right. Deviled eggs. I didn't have that one on my list. That's a good one. That's up there with mine too. Well, I heard one of hot dogs and what? Coleslaw. Yeah, coleslaw's good. Good stuff. No one said my favorite yet, though. Brats.
Red, white, and blue popcorn.
Red, white, and blue popcorn. Oh, wow.
Strawberry
shortcake. There you go. Good stuff. What's that? Grapes are good. Grapes are good. They're in my list. He's reading the notes. He's putting it together. The fruit of the vine.
Watermelon.
That's the winner right there. Watermelon. There is nothing better when it's so hot and there's just slices to grab, and it's got to be good watermelon. There's bad watermelon out there. The mealy stuff, it's got to be crisp and juicy, and watermelon is my favorite, and it has been forever, and oh my goodness. And my Starkey side of my family has always put a little bit of salt on fruit. And on watermelon, it's amazing. About 10 years ago, I met a friend that puts spicy salts on their watermelon. So if you've heard of like tahine, which is like a red pepper, salt, and lime combo, it's spicy and salty, and you put it on watermelon, it'll blow your mind. It sounds like it shouldn't make any sense at all. It is amazing. It's amazing. It's my favorite, and it reminds me of my grandpa. When I was young and had the privilege to tease him without being getting in trouble, I'd ask him how he got such a big belly, and he always said, "I probably swallowed one too many watermelon seeds, and one of them took root in there, and now it's growing." I always remember that, but now I wonder. Everything is seedless. Grapes are seedless. Watermelon is seedless. What am I supposed to tell my grandkids? I wonder sometimes about these seedless generations of fruit. It's like we're in it for the sweetness alone and not for the continuity of life, not for the next generation. Man-made seedless fruits speak volumes to our countries and our cultures. Give me the reward right now attitude. Our want for instant gratification without any consideration for the next generation. What will come of it? What fruit will we bear if we're a seedless generation? Thankfully, our scriptures today share insights into the kingdom of God through the image of fruit on the vine. I always wonder, will these scriptures, that will they make any sense to future generations? Will fruit images and will they make sense to a generation that eats fruit that has no seeds? Or will I just be the crazy old man at the 4th of July party 40 years from now, telling, back in my day, fruit used to have seeds in it. You kids don't understand a thing. Thankfully, though there are multitudes of scriptures that relate to God's kingdom through seeds, today's verses focus on the fruit. And what is amazing, especially in the grape world, is that seeds in this generation aren't necessary for the next generation to bear fruit. That's what's amazing about grapes, is this year's crop does not have to have seeds in order for there to be a crop next year. The vine remains. And if the vine remains healthy, and if the vine remains nurtured, the next year, new vine will grow from it, and new fruit will bear from it. Grapevines can produce fruit year after year for hundreds of years. Currently, the oldest grapevine on the planet producing fruit still is over 500 years old. Now, they don't produce as well as they did in their youth, but most grape vines that are super productive are 20 years old. So the 500-year-old ones are producing a cup or two of fruit, but they're producing fruit, and they will again next year. If the vine remains cared for, the fruit remains in a state of production. Even if those fruit have no seeds, they are fruit nonetheless. I invite you to listen now for the Holy One, for the voice of the Holy One as we remain connected to the Word. Again from John 15, 1 through 4. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. John 15 goes on from there in verses 9 through 17, where Jesus continues sharing this word. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. As we celebrate our freedoms this weekend, let us be ever more grateful and understanding of the greater freedom that we have received in Christ Jesus. These words spoke to me, as I hope they do to you. that you are free in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the one who followed all the rules perfectly, was still condemned and tortured and put to death by the rule makers. And yet, Jesus had joy greater than all of that, a joy that he desires to share with you. And you don't have to memorize or follow all of the rules to gain that joy. And there are no number of rules you could possibly collectively follow to gain freedom in Christ. But instead, by following one command to love each other as Jesus Christ has loved, there is where joy is made complete and true freedom is found. The one who loved by forming relationships and sharing meals and communicating hope with the rich and the poor, the healthy and the lame, with tax collectors and politicians and soldiers and thieves and prostitutes and servants and everyone in between. There is where Jesus found his joy and where yours is to be found as well. If you are trying to please God or win heavenly rights by following the rules, then you've become a slave to the rules, when true freedom lies in loving one another. And beyond the rule following, what about good deeds? Can you do good works to find freedom in this life? There's no amount that will ever amount to freedom. No, Jesus, the one who did only good works, was still condemned and tortured and put to death for the work he did. And yet, he had joy so great that it surpassed all those circumstances, a joy he desires to share with you because his joy did not come from doing those good things. He did those good things because of the love he experienced in relationship to the gardener, his heavenly Father, and ours. And if we are to bear fruit in this world, our good deeds must come from that same place. If we do good unto others because it makes them feel good, or because it makes us feel good, that's neat. That's cute. But we will become a slave to it. For there is no amount of good works we can do to gain connection to our heavenly gardener. No amount of service that can reconnect us to the holy vine. Instead, out of the love and joy and forgiveness and grace and mercy that flows through the Christ, that flows through Christ the vine, from that source, we are made free to serve. True freedom resides in God's love. And from that love, we have been set free. Free to love one another and to serve one another and to experience the joy of Christ when our motivation for doing so is no longer our own, but flows from the one who gives us life. In Christ Jesus. Amen. We celebrate